So again, let's move as quickly as we can. So we'll just finish up Toldesein Kiyotzei. Again, which is more than just Toldesein Kiyotzei. We discussed Rashi, we discussed Rebelbel. We're in the middle of discussing the Riff, and I was trying to bring in a bigger perspective on the question of Chatzi, of Tam and Muad, and Chatzi Nezek, Mamona, Chatzi Nezek, Knasa. Again, this is an example of a topic that we're going to have to obviously expand on much more. But let's zero in on the Riff and just the possibilities within the Riff very quickly. So the Riff, as we noted, until the same Lab Kiyotza, Behem Nisano says, the Riff, what does he say? So what does he really say? Nezek Shalem and Muad, or Nezek Shalem and Chatzi Nezek, or Tam and Muad? Yeah. So it's really a little bit unclear, right, what the point of emphasis is. So basically, again, just to make things a little quicker so we can move on, there really are, as we discussed, I think three ways to look at the Riff. One way is a way that doesn't seem plausible, but the way that some of the Achronim, you know, read it and were bothered by, and that is that it's a very specific question within Karen about whether or not the toldos have the din of Tam and Muad or not. The problem with that is it seems to be against the Gemara, which makes it you know untenable as the view of the Riff. But again, I think the question already reflects that the Riff's view is hard to understand, a little bit hard to pin down. Either way, the notion that, you know, even that within Karen, that there is such a question about Avos and Toldos, that I think is legitimate. I just don't think it's limited to that. What motivated people to think that it would be limited to that is, you know, the strong association of Tam and Muad, or Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalem, being a Karen halacha. So if that's really the focal point, then it sounds like everything is within Karen, and that's what troubled those Achronim. And that orientation, even if I don't think it's correct in the Riff, because it can't be based on the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara, but it highlights, you know, what is Mechudash in the Riff. At minimum, certainly the Riff is also said, it seems to be raising that question, right? Namely, if we have a din of Tam and Muad when it comes to Negicha, right, do we automatically have the same din when it comes to Be'ita or Negifa, and so on and so forth? But already, that highlights seemingly that the idea that you know Tam and Muad, you know, simply as umdanas or assessing, you know, the likelihood of Cheskas Shimur is extremely problematic, and that's the first point that we want to make. More likely, and this I believe is how the Rambam understood the Riff, certainly, and probably the way the Riff should be understood, and that is that the question is the Sanel, not about, not only within Karen, but all the other Avos. Namely, is there a din of Tam and Muad when it comes to other Avos, or is that itself limited to Karen? Now, again, I'll explain more what I mean in a minute, but we already started last time. If we were to say that what distinguishes Tam and Muad is the question of Cheskas Shimur, that's the cause, in other words, and that all this is about you know, an actuarial table, you know, that is the consequence of, you know, behavioral things. So this is a strange question, right? Because either it is or it isn't. It doesn't seem like it's a legal question. It seems like it's a very pragmatic, you know, or mathematical, you know, kind of a question. So, no matter what way you take all of this, by quoting Tam, just like I mentioned for Avelvel, right? By saying that Tam and Muad is Hilchosein, or in the Riff, by suggesting that maybe Toldos are different than Avos, you know, in a fundamental way when it comes to Tam and Muad, and now extending it, by weighing whether or not Shein Varegel, let's say, or more maybe even, have the equivalent of a Tam and Muad, it sounds like what we're saying is that tam muad, you know, is a legal principle, you know, not a practical, experience or practical case. It sounds like, you know, really what we're wondering about is, you know, whether or not, you know, a first-time mazik in other avos, it's the being of a, it's being a first-timer, you know, again, not having, you know, previous warning, or transforming it into like a shame mazik, or in the other direction, if we're talking about like within Karen, the toldos, maybe they're all tam, maybe they can't become a muad, right? It's also possible, you know, extension of this, but like, why not? From a behavioral point of view, there should really be no difference between, you know, taking a negicha and turning it into a muad and taking a be'ita and turning it into a muad, right? So all I'm trying to show is that all these discussions, which maybe don't make the final cut, because we say told the same of kiyotzeh, but if we're to understand them, they certainly, you know, pressure the notion that tam and muad are a consequence purely of probability and behavior. That's the bigger point I'm trying to make. In the Rambam, it does seem, and the second day of the Raavad, that this is the question. And the question is whether or not tam and muad are limited to Karen, or tam and muad are categories that apply to the other avos nezikin. Right? The Rambam here is echad avos nezikin. You have it there in Nisano, actually? So it sounds like the question here is a question of tam and muad, right? And the Rambam's, what's fascinating about the Rambam is a few things. Number one, again, this is a havamina of the Gemara, right? Again, it's a havamina that goes on, you know, the Gemara takes seriously for two or three dapim. So, you know, that in itself is fascinating. Still, in the end, we end up saying chatzi nezek tzroros, seemingly turning our back, we'll see in a moment, on this havamina. So it didn't have to get, the Havamina didn't have to get registered in the Rambam's, you know, massive, comprehensive code of Jewish law, right, called Yad HaKatzaka, or Mishnah Torah. The fact that the Rambam, you know, gives it, you know, space here is fascinating. Not like every Havamina that's rejected in the Gemara, you know, gets mentioned and rejected by the Rambam, right? But I think the Rambam thought that the question of told the same kiyotze and lav kiyotze was a very fundamental question, and that there are echoes of it, or that the rejection of it is very, very important, or maybe the consideration of it is very important despite the rejection of it. So the Rambam really is, you know, basically darshaning the Gemara here. Echad avos nezikin, echad toldos, im haya ha'av muad toldos ha'muades, im haya tam toldos ha'kamo. Okay. Keep going. B'chol avos nezikin. Now he's going to apply it, right? B'chol avos nezikin. Yeah, and so clearly he is explaining that the havamina was that shein v'regel and maybe even eish and bor. Hard to know. It's hard to know where you would draw the line. Could have had a din of, you know, tamim b'tkilasan. And Kamash Milan, that's limited to Karen. So the question that we're left with is, because it's all, you know, a Shimur thing and that only applies to Karen, right? Or doesn't sound that way. It sounds like, maybe there's some special din in Karen, in the way, in the Mechayev of Karen, the way that Karen goes, that you need this transition always, talk about that also, or at least, you know, it's characteristic that usually you have this transition between tam, you know, and muad, whereas Shein V'Regel just don't have the metzius, or Shein V'Regel, it's in the nature of what it is that, you know, that you don't have it. In other words, what I'm trying to say is if when you have something which is either by nature meshuna or kavanoso lahazik, so then the transition from tam and muad, you know, is part of that story. Whereas if the mechayev is, you know, matsui or hanal hazeko, you know, then maybe it isn't. But the very discussion, all of it, kind of imperils the perspective that this is all just behavioristic and actuarial.
Okay.
Either way, then the next line in the Rambam, where he goes further, right? Kol Toda, go ahead. Keep the Rambam open, because we'll still be discussing it. Go ahead. Kol Toda. Yeah. So, when the Rambam goes to Halacha Beis, is he going beyond Tam and Muad? Are you saying now, Kol Tol the Ka'av Shala, Chutz Mitzroros? So, is he now going, a step further with the Rush, or not necessarily? Okay. By which I mean the following. So, let me explain what I mean. So basically we have one perspective in the Rif that's clearly wrong, but it's interesting that there was that perspective, and that this is all inside Karen. There was never a Havamina that you could talk about Tam in anything but Karen, even in the Havamina. That's wrong, because you can't read the Gemara that way. The number two, which is the Ravid's conclusion and the Rambam's Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, is that the discussion in the Gemara is about there being a Tam for Shane Varegel, and maybe more, but the Maskana is no. And it's hard to know what to emphasize, more, frankly. And I'll try to build this up in just a minute, a little bit more anyway, right? Then in Halacha Beis, the Rambam does talk about Tzroros, which is the Gemara's Maskana, and obviously that's not a question of Tam and Muad. Right, so is that just like, oh, the Gemara couldn't find, so they went, we were discussing, it's 180 degree. Just like for Rashi, it has to be 180 degree. So for others, maybe it has to. Or for a Velvel, it has to be 180 degree. So it has to be 180 degree. Or the alternative is to look at the Rush. So what the Rush contributes on the Sanel is the Rush quotes the Rif. We discussed this already, right? But he adds a slightly different emphasis to it all, namely.
The Rush sounds like this.
The way you pay. Now, it's for the what the chiddush, what the Rush adds to the mix, as opposed to, let's say, the Rambam and Halacha Aleph, and the Pashtus of the Rif, is that we don't have to be discussing the narrow question of Tam and Muad in other Avos. Right? Either because maybe that's just ridiculous, maybe Tam is built into Karen and it can't be anything else. Right? Or because we don't want to limit it to that. Why should it only be about Tam and Muad? Right? I'm not sure which of those or both. What the Rush is emphasizing is that Tam and Muad, right, establish that within one Av, there can be two payment plans or two payment options. Right? There can be Nezek Shalem and there can be Chatzi Nezek. The paradigm of having a nezek, which is more than one option in terms of tashlumin or level of chiyuv, that's what we learned seemingly from Karen and Tam and Muad. So maybe what we're trying to figure out in the other avos is just like in Karen, right? There are two categories. There are two ways to be mishalem. Maybe there are two ways to be mishalem in some of the others as well. It doesn't have to be Tam and Muad. That's just a hechatimtzi. Right, it's the notion that there can be chatzi nezek and nezek shalem. Right, now if you say that, right, so then the Gemara's conclusion about tzroros, right, is less of a turnaround, because again tzroros isn't tam and muad, basically. Well, we'll see in a minute, right? But tzroros is, the lone other example of nezek shalem and chatzi nezek. The advantage of the Rush is that, we don't necessarily have to, zero in on Tam and Muad in the other cases. But what the Rush does have in common with what I've been saying previously is that he too seemingly should be uncomfortable, and this Havamina at minimum, should be uncomfortable with the notion that Chatzi Nezek of Tam right, is a very specific din in you know, Shvarim L'Shimor Kaimi or Lav. And especially with the two explanations, you know, or the two perspectives on that, if they're understand Kipshutam and in an extreme way. And now I'm going back to expand on what I said on Thursday. Namely, if you look at the Gemara in Tesvav, which we'll still look at, right, there are the Pashtos, if you're not looking for trouble, and certainly this is the way Rabbeinu Tam read it, and many others, right? So there are two views on Palganiska Knasa, right, and Rapapa Kshal Palganiska Mamon. And if you take them Kipshutam, right, they are two extremes that could not be more distant one from the other, except that what they would both have in common is that neither should have qualified as a paradigm in Mazik. They both should have been viewed as outliers, as exceptions to the rule, and they should have been irrelevant in assessing or considering, you know, any other application. Okay, and the reason for that is, Rami, what do I mean by that? Why is that true? If you take that view, what do I mean? Why they're outliers? They shouldn't be. No one should be invoking them. They're very specific cases, right? The pashtas, because what does the Gemara? How does the Gemara describe on Tesvav Palganiska Mamona Palganiska Knasa? Exactly. So if we take the Gemara Kipshuto, right, are either of these a good model for finding, let's say, more paradigms, you know, within the Avos Nezikim that would be relevant? Would you say? If you take Kipshuto, probably not. Right? I don't want to put words in. Do you agree?
Sure.
What?
Sure.
Sure? Meaning what? Just, I mean, in other words, the Palganiska Mamona basically means that you're chayiv, and the Torah swept in this one case and said, you know, we're going to give this guy a little bit of a break. Correct? Now, if you take that Kipshuto and that they're giving him a break in this particular case, but really, really, fundamentally, there's a chiyuv, so then you should say, Enlecha Bala Chidusha. Right? In that direction. And it's a chiyuv, is that a paradigm of within Avos of a Nezek Shalem and a Chatzi Nezek? No. It's both Nezek Shalems, but the Kiyum, a Tashlumin, in one case, is Chas Rachman. The Torah kind of, you know, was Mochel, you know, half of the money. And Chatzi Nezek Knas, Palganiska Knas, is exactly the opposite. Palganiska Knas means you would basically Stam Shvarim Arbecheska Shimur, right? And therefore you're Pater Legamri. But the Torah, for policy reasons, you know, swept in and created a chatzi nezek, you know, charge. You know, but what does that have to do? If you're looking for, now, what the Rush is looking for, right? Again, we already explained how for the Rif and the Rambam, you know, per se, that none of this stuff should be exportable, you know, to shave a regal and so on. Okay. But for the Rush, also, equally, but in a different way. Meaning the Rosh is saying, listen, you see from Karen that you can have an Av, right? And there can be a range within that Av of Nezek Shalem and Chatzi Nezek. So why should that be limited only to Karen? The answer is, of course, it should only be limited to Karen, because only in Karen do you have either the foundation for you know, Stam, you know, Shvarim or Biskeskas Shimur Kaimi, and therefore it's only a Knas. Only a policy thing. Or, you know, it's Chiyuv Nezek Shalem, basically. But, you know, a Chiddush of Chas Rachmana. Why would you think that neither of them are paradigm? They're both exceptions to the rule. Right? So what seems to be on the agenda here. The question is it only on the agenda of the Hava Mina, or does it that continue to be a proper way to look at what's going on here? Is that we need to reassess how we look at the Gemara on Tezvav, how we look at Palganiska Mamona, how we look at Palganiska Knasa, or at least one of them. And then the question is, which one of them? And this is what I was talking about last time. Namely, instead of saying Palganiska Mamona, that it's, you know, it's an exception to the rule, you're Chayiv Legamri, but, right, you might want to question, why the but here? You know, is the Chasa Rachmana have nothing to do with the quality of the Hezek? Or, by which I mean, you know, either the degree to which you are sufficiently Metzurah or Chayiv or Patur, you know, Metzurah to the Hezek, you know, Chayiv the Torah Schoser Shmira, Patur Midin Ones of having done a proper Shmira. Right? Let's say we say, listen, you're over. We are basically saying, in if we say Palgan Iska Mamona, we're saying that, you know, legally, all things being equal, you know, this is you passed the threshold. But so why is it Chasa Rachmana? Right? But if the Chasa Rachmana is a recognition that, you know, you passed one threshold but you haven't passed another, or you passed the threshold but just barely. Namely, that it's a little more complicated. There are two mazikim here. There's the animal, and there's the bailim, and the animal is playing a bigger role here, you know, than in other cases, presumably. And where you have more than one factor, or where the factor relating to the bailim, or a factor relating to the shore, whatever it is insufficiently absolute or pure, right, then, you know, there may be a halachic threshold, you know, but, you know, there's a recognition that it isn't the same level of mazik or the same level of achrayus or the same level in which the other factors don't count as in other cases, right? And once that is true, so then palganiska mamona and the chasa rachmana isn't such an outlier, right? It's connected to the quality of this particular hezek, not despite it. Being full, you could have said, a lot of people will say, Palgan Iska Mamona, qualitatively, quantitatively, Mechayev wise, is identical to Palga, to Nezek Shalem. But Chasa Rachmana. And the same is true with Palgan Iska Knasa, right? Again, if it's, you know, clearly, not even close, Patur, and it's a policy thing, so then you're stuck. But if we say, that this is a chatzin nezek, even though it's a knas, but it's still niske mamon. And what it shows is that, you know, you aren't pater legamri. I mean, you're pater enough not to be chayiv nezek shalem, and on a certain level. But on the other hand, you know, you, again, maybe your choser shmira isn't part of the mechayiv, but it's not exactly anus either. Or, and, you know, here there's a, you're, you know, the owner of a mazik. In other cases, you're the owner of an animal that's kind of doing its thing. You know, so if you're not the problem, and it's not the problem, but here, like, you know, you're harboring this mazik. Right? I'm saying there are different ways to say it. It doesn't really matter at the moment which one. We should keep on our eyes on the lookout. There will be other nafkamina for it. But at the end of the day, what I'm saying is that palganiska mamona, palganiska knasa. Now, if you say about both of them, then the gap between palganiska mamona and palganiska knasa ends up being a very small one. Right? One would have thought that palganiska mamona and palganiska knasa are two opposites, and in some worldviews they are. For Rabbeinu Tam, Udi'ime, they certainly seem to be. But once you start saying, you know, the chasam rachmana is not arbitrary here, or the knasa is not arbitrary here, you know, so then they're you know, each one is barely on the other side of the threshold, you know, and they're a lot closer to each other. Now, in theory, let's go a step further. Could one have said that when it comes to Palga Mamona, Palganiska Mamona, so that's Chasa Rachmana. And when it comes to Palganiska Knasa, right, that is, you know, a qualitative Miktas Mechayev. Or the opposite, right? Palganiska Mamona, you know, is still within Mamon, right? You know, Knas, is like, you know, has the connotation of any knas. It's a chiyuv bezdin, according to those who think it's a chiyuv bezdin. Right? So basically we have here, in examining polganiska mona, polganiska knasa, we have several options. One is to see them as opposites and both outliers. The opposite way is to see them as, you know, not a coincidence that we imposed the knas here, and we imposed it, unlike other knasos, according to some Rishonim, from within, as part of the din itself. It's a niske mamon din, right? And maybe true, the chasarach mona, polganiska mona. Or Gufa, to distinguish qualitatively between saying palganiska mamona chasa rachmana and palganiska knasa, assessing the knas. But if you're going to mechalik between them in a qualitative way, in which direction? Right. On the one hand, knas has a connotation. On the other hand, the chasa rachmana, you know, seems in a way, you know, like a smaller change, you know, than taking, you know, creating a chiyuv where none exists. Okay? So I think relevant to this is the question, the diuk in the Rif that we mentioned, which is, it's fascinating that when the Rif says what he says, he connects it to palga niska knasa. Right? And some of you have noted, and again, Tosa Rush kind of implicitly notes it in the other way when he talks about Karen Mechuberes, and that is that if anything, if this is all within Rav Papa, and Rav Papa's the one who says palganiska mamona, right? So it's even more surprising. So in light of both of those things, what I would say is, okay, now let's remember what we're talking about. We have Rav Belville saying that this whole thing is Hilchosei. Right? We have the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, in one way or another, talking about, you know, kind of, seemingly, unless you get, you know, very psychological here, disentangling the applications of either Tam and Muad, or in the case of the Rush, the paradigm within an Av of Nezek Shalem and Chatzi Nezek, right, from the actuarial questions, you know, of Stam Shvarim Becheskas or Lo Becheskas, you know, Shimur. Ah. So what are we really, what is the, you know, the Rambam and the Rif maybe are really saying, you know, Tam and Muad, you know, first-time offender, you know, being established as a muad. Again, for whatever it affects, the shame, the maisa hezek, the shame mazik, the connection to the bailim in shmira or in hezek, whatever it does. Right, this process is important. You know, why is that dafka and karen? The answer is dafka and karen because that's where they have the cheskas shimur, pratz mishuna. It's kabbalas alahazik. No, they're cat. It's a formal din, right? So is that more true? And then you have the Rush saying, forget about Tam and Muad. Those are just examples. Maybe there's no Tam and Muad in other cases, or maybe it's not limited to that. What we're really trying to say is, you see from Karen, there's a Nezek Shalem and a Chatzi Nezek variety. Namely, it's not all or nothing. You're the Mazik, Gamor, or you're not responsible, and it just happened, or the animal just did it at all. There can be situations where you're a Shutuf with the animal, or you're half responsible, Or you on the shmi, you don't have the onus of shmira, but you also don't have the mechayev of shmira. Whatever the qualitative combination is, you see that, and once you see that, maybe that's true for different reasons and in different ways in the other mazikim too. Once it can be, right, a zero sum, you know, chatzi zero sum nezek shalem or a ptur. Right, and once it isn't just due to, it isn't a total, you know, exception to the rule, but it's within the categories of that make sense, you know, in Dine Mazik. So maybe in Shein V'Regel or in Eish or in Bor, there could be cases also where there's Chatzi Nezek. Right, is this a whole different perspective? Is what I'm saying. Right now. Do you want to say that more? Do you want to say that either for the mandamana palganiska mama bona palganiska knasa? Or are you more comfortable saying this idea, you know, more for one than the other? Right. So within the worldview of Rav Papa, you might have said, oh, it's better to say this in palganiska mamona. At least that, you know, maybe the chasa rachmana, you know, is misleadingly, you know, but it's all mamon. Right? So, you know, there can be a chiyuv mamon shalem and a chiyuv mamon chetzi. As for knas, right, that's, you know, knas, that's shloshim shaleved, it's you know, it's kefel, it's dalet behei, assuming that those are not mammon oriented, right? Or the opposite. Will we say chaser rachmana, you know, that's an intervention. But the knas of palgan iska knasa, that's really a category. Right? Again, so then maybe that is it you know, a papa lishitaso, or is it rapapa asking, but this making more sense, dafka, if you hold knasa? Right? But now, like, it's a whole different question, you know, both for the, you know, Ravid, Rambam, that view of the Rif, that's about Tam and Muad, and maybe even more so for the Rush, where Tam and Muad are just examples, it's a Chatzi Nezek, it's not a zero-sum game, Mazik. You could be a Shutaf, you know, or quantitatively or qualitatively only Chatzi Chayev. Nothing, not Tam, necessarily. So again, in the Rambam, just to highlight it a little bit further, it's fascinating that the Rambam holds back from Palga, Nizka, Knasa, and Mamona. You know, he holds back mostly, barely mentions it. He mentions it in Beis Halacha Zayin. See in a moment. He mentions it in Ukl Sanhedrin. Somebody can get that Parakei Halacha test, a Rambam that we saw earlier in the year, where he talks about, you know, Gevia, you know, without Dayanim Smuchim. We'll see how he formulates it. But the Rambam talks about Palganiska and Mamo, the Rambam talks about Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalem from the very beginning of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. Basically starts Hilchos Nizkei Mamon that way. What's fascinating about the Rambam is, again, the delay in labeling it, sorry, knasa, and even the delay and the initial reluctance to connect it to Karen. The Rambam presents Nezek Shalem and Chatzi Nezek as paradigms of Nezek. I think that's why he was so amenable to mentioning this Hava Mina, even as he rejects it. Right? Look at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. Kol nefesh chayah shibishus shalom shizika b'ilam chayavim l'shalem. Right? Sure, Mamonim, again, the emphasis of the Rambam is Mamonim hizik. Right? Being the Baal, therefore the bank account, or whatever it is, the action of the behema, Mamonim hizik. Okay, fine, we'll see how that plays out. The Kama Mishalem, Imazika Bidvarim Shadar Kalasos, Tamid Kiminag Briyasa, Kagom Behema Shachla Tevano Amir, Shizika Biragla, Chayv Shalim Nezek Shalim, and Ayafashav and Chasov, Shinar Metav Sadeh Metav Karmi Shalim. Im Shines Vasas, Maisim Shane Dar Kablasos and Tamid, Bizika Kagon Shoshanoga, Honosha, Chayv Shalim, Chatzi Nezek Migufa Mazik, and so on. Shinemar Mikros Basar Achai, the Chitzu is Kaspo. Right? So this is Ketzad or Kama Mishalem, it's going to get qualified, right? But the first impression of the Rambam is there's a generic notion of Mazik and Shor and Mazik in general, right? Okay, he's talking about Shor, he's not talking about Eish and Bor here. But okay, let's say at least for the Shors, which we'll see in a moment, the Rambam puts together based on a certain understanding of the Gemara. And so come Mishalim, two paradigms. Right? There's nothing there about Knas, there's nothing there about Cheska Shimor, there is the Hagdara of Mishuna and Ragil. That's true. But it's not connected to Cheska Shimor, there's no Mandakar Shimei of Knas. Then, you know, the Pasuk is just quoted, Chatzi Nezek. Ketzad Shor Shavah Mana Shenogak, the Ram continues with it. Right? Osa Maisa Shadar Kolasas, Tommy, we'll get back to that. Kim Inig Brasa, Hua Nikra Muad. That's only in Halacha Dalet. Hamashana Va'asa, that's called Tam. Hua Nikra Tam. There's no mention at this point. So what do you have? You have Shor, basically. Then Kama Mishalim, two paradigms. A Pasuk. an example, right? And then only in halacha, right, Dalid, you know, the terminology of tam and muad. Still, tam and muad isn't connected to Karen, particularly, even though the cases are, because those are the cases. They'd chamisha, maisim, tamim, yesh bebehema, right? V'huad alecha mem nazis muedis lo samaisa, and so on. Okay. Chamisha bebehema muadim bitchilas priyasan, that's halacha vav. They happen to be Karen, but there's no mention of Karen. Kol muad mishalim nezek shalim en ayafa shebin chasav. Kol tam mishalim chatzi nezek migufo. I have to talk about that. Where is that? Gzeres hakasuv? Is that part of the story? Right? There's still no mention of Karen. Hizika bershus, chatzi shenish shel shneim. It's only in halacha yud. And here the Rambam says, shlosha avos nezikim bishor, which is also fascinating. Right, the Rambam is integrating Shane, Regel, and Karen based on that's a view in the Gemara. We'll go through each of those lines in the Gemara. But basically, the first introduction of Karen in the Rambam, basically, let me say it this way: the first encounter with Shor Hamazik is Karen, right? And that and Nezek Shalem, Chatzi Nezek, but without any kind of limiting designation. That's what I'm trying to say. Karen emerges as like the default mazik, not an outlier, which is an issue, right? And, but unnamed, as if it's like the default, the generic, then finally, and you get the descriptions, the names, tam and muad, nothing about knas or mammon, nothing about Karen, till halacha yud, then you get shlosha avos nizakim b'shor. Okay? HaKaren, HaShein, VaRegel. And they're together. The first one is Karen, that's the default one that we've been talking about till now. Told us HaKaren, Negifa Neshicha Rubitza Be'ita, told us HaShein. Again, it wasn't relevant apparently until now, even though all the cases of Muad and Tam are only cases of Karen. Im nischacha bekosa lahanayasa vehizika bechichucha im tinfa peris lahanayasa told us aregali zika begufa derech ilucha shezika besa'ara derech ilucha kishkesha beznava. We'll talk about that. Fine. Kishkesha beznava, that's also very fascinating. Kishkesha beznava, according to the Rambam, we'll talk when we talk about Karen Mechubar. You should look also at that Gemara, actually, on your Testament base, and the Rishonim there. Like, what is the suffix of the Gemara of Kishkesha Vitznava? It's a suffix, whether it's told to the Karen or told to the Regel. Fine. So the Rambam only mentions Karen when he mentions that all three are Avos Bashar, when he integrates them. Right? He didn't see fit not to mention Palganiska Knossa, not to mention that Palganiska is a din in Karen, not even to mention Karen itself until he mentions all three. Although, then when you look back, you see all the cases until now have all been cases of Karen. Right. So it's a default, but it's integrated. Then comes Halak Perek Beis. Echad Avos Nezikim, Echad Atoldos, Im Haya Av Muad, Toldos Muedes, Im Haya Tam Toldos Kamo. Again, without any mention of anything. Because this is like the across-the-board rule. And then finally, the Kol Avos Nezikim, V'chol Toldosei Muadim B'tchilasan, Chutz Mikaren V'toldos Av Shein Tam B'tchilad, Ad sheyuadu kamosha biarnu. That's such a strange way to write it. Because the beginning of the halacha applies, seems to say it applies. And then he said, oh, by the way, it only applies to Karen. Like, what's the point of that? But that's totally consistent with presenting, right, Nezek Shalem and Chatzi Nezek and all the cases of Karen as the default shore, and only mentioning Karen when you mention all three. And now he's finally breaking down the, oh, by the way, in fact, it's only, it didn't have to be that way. Right? And then you get halacha beis. Kol tolda ka'av shala, chutz mitzoros haminatzin, etc. Now, is that the Rambam's concession to the Rush? Meaning, there are told the same lav kiyotzim and has two meanings. Number one, is there tam and muad in the other avos? Number two, you know, maybe there are other paradigms of Nezek Sholem and Chatzi Nezek in the other ovens. So Halacha Aleph says, I've taken care of, you know, that view of the Rif. And Halacha Bey says, now I'm taking care of, you know, the second view. Not sure. Let me say it this way. According to the Rush, the conclusion of Tzoros, I think this is something that, Noah was saying last time, right? He was saying it more with the Rav Elbel. I don't really think it works so well with the Rav Elbel, because, again, for Rav Elbel, everything is homogenized. But I think it's a good point. And that is, if you hold like the Rush, that I think you said explicitly, right? So, yeah, go ahead. So, if you hold like the Rush, then the Tzoros is perfect. Right. In other words, there's no... If the everything is focused on, you know, Tam and Muad, you know, so what does Tzoros have anything to do with anything, right? If it's like, you know, Chiv and Ptur, like for Rashi, right, that was Tzvi's problem, so like, how's the answer? How is this Tzoros? You know, if it's for a Belbel also, like, what's it got to do with Tzoros? That's not an example of the Kiyotze Bahem, right? But according to the Rush, right, the Tzoros is not a 180-degree turn at all. Because what was really the Gemara's weighing question? They're trying to figure out, is the only time that we have two, meaning a zero, the only time we don't have a zero-sum game of either being legamri chayv or legamri potter, you know, in Karen, right? Or, you know, are there other such examples of that? So the Gemara is saying, there's one other example, right? That's Tzoros. It's a perfect example. Because it's not about Tam and Muad, right? And it's not about, certainly not Cheska Shimor and that kind of stuff. It's about whether you can you ever have only a partial Chiyu. Now for the Rambam, you know, this transition then in Halacha Beis is the 180-degree turn. Or this is his saying, the Rif was asking two things. What's the status of Tam and Muad and the other Avos? And is there, like the Rush, I mean, anachronistically, obviously, you know, other paradigms of Nezek Sholem and Chatzi Nezek? I'll go even further. Maybe the Rambam doesn't even have to say that. Because what we're trying to show in the Rambam is that the Rambam's view of Palganiskam Knossov, and maybe even the Mandamar Palganiskam Amona, hard to know, can't tell, he doesn't pask in that way, right, is that it is a derech of Nezek Sholem Chatzi Nezek, right? And it took him so long to identify that that had anything to do with Karen, or if it does have anything to do with Karen, you know, that it's still not exportable to anything else. Now, once you think that Palga Niska Knossa, let's say, or Mamona, or maybe Dafka Knossa, or maybe Dafka Mamona, the things I said before, doesn't really mean, you know, Enocha Bola Chidusho. This is a, you know, policy issue. And that's a swooping intervention, Chasa Rachmana. But rather, right, the Muad and Tam really are, like the Rambam presented them in Perek Aleph, right, options, you know, within the world of Mazik. There's no mention of Chasa, and there's no mention of Knas. When do you finally get the Knas, by the way? I mentioned Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin. In the context of Tzoros, right, after, what happens in Perek Beis? Also, just the way the Rambam organized everything. Right, this transitions into Tzoros, and then the Rambam keeps talking about Tzoros. It's almost as if, when you think of the structure, what's really happened was the Ram starts off Hilchos Niske Mamon, you know, analyzing Nezek Sholem and Chatzi Nezek. That's why he withholds, you know, or not, again, he's going to reveal, but strategically at the right time to give you the impression that these are the only cases, but this is a bigger issue. And even those cases are relevant and part of, they're all sure, right? So basically, Tam and Muad belong to Shor. Oh, by the way, only Karen of Shor, the default one. But they belong in a bigger way into Shor. And now we're saying, however, there is also another case, Tzroros, that doesn't only belong to Regel now, and it's not only an outlier, it's part of, it's a paradigm of Chatzinezek. Maybe it isn't even so distant anymore from Palganiska Knossa or Palganiska Mamona if they aren't the outliers that you think they are. So the end of the whole rest of the parak, this isn't the parak about Regel. Right? It's, oh, we're still talking about, you know, the models. So, you know, Kol Tol Dekav, Chutz, Ketzad, Halacha Gimel, V'cheinu Maisam Alechas Prishus HaRabim, Haisam Alechas Prishus HaRabim U'Bot, we'll talk about all these. Bata Ba'aretz Prishus HaNizak, it goes through Halacha Vav, Dinei Tzroros. And then the Rambam says, Kol HaMishalem Nezek Shalem, Harei HaTashlumim Mamon, Shuchayv L'Shalmo, Kimi Shalava Michaver Shuchayv L'Shalem. The Kol HaMishalem Chatzi Nezek, also a very interesting example. Harei tashlumin knas chutz michatzi nezek shel tzroros shu halacha kamo shebiarnu. This is the first time we get palganiska knasa. Shouldn't it have been in parak aleph halacha whatever it is gimel? If it has no consequences in this game mamon, and then the whole continuation till here would have been different. But what's really happened is, again, we're investigating nezek shalem and nezek Chatzi, you know, we're slowly revealing the facts, you know, which shouldn't, you know, disrupt our real understanding that it belongs to the larger world of Nezek, even though it doesn't apply very often. Then we went to Chatzi Nezek Tzroros in the Rambam, which again could have been a total outlier, could have been a din regel, you know, but is basically, you know, to cross the border. I should mention there, Aga, very quickly, that the Rishonim, you know, we're troubled a little bit by the fact that there's only one kiyotz event, and when it's all said and done, Tzroros, right? So I think the Tosa Rush, somebody can find the line, says, we tried, you know, 2 days. We tried, and, you know, all we could come up with is Tzroros. Sorry, guys. You know. He doesn't go as far as what I was saying for Avelvel and for Rashi, which I think you need to say, which is that, by the way, even that isn't the one exception. It's really a totally different, you know, 180-degree turn in what we meant in the whole question. Like, we can't find anything, but at least we have something that looks like it. You have a line there, Nathan? Is it Tosar Rush?
Yeah.
Inami, he says.
This first one is...
It'll be the first one. Like they're, you know, they're working hard and they came up with nothing. There's a Musar Haskel in that too, right? It's, you know, Lahagda Torah Lahadira, you know. Either the, you know, you get credit but you didn't accomplish anything type, or the way I prefer, which is, you know, the process didn't get what you wanted necessarily, but it definitely, you know, forced you to think about these questions and to expand your understanding, and you're going to get, you know, some benefit from it. But okay, in the end, like, you know, it didn't work. Okay, Inami.
The other one is that there's just more.
There are tzroros. Maybe there are tzroros for other avos, right? There's tzroros. The Gemara discusses later. There's tzroros for Regel. That's the typical. But there could be tzroros for Shane. And the Gemara is mistopic whether this is Tzroros for Karen and whether you only pay a quarter. That's the Gemara. We'll discuss it in the beginning of the second parak. Right. So to me, again, if it's a 180-degree turn, according to the Rush, it doesn't have to be a 180-degree turn. It's another paradigm of Nezek Shalem and Chatzi Nezek. Maybe for the Rambam too. But maybe for the Rambam, it's not even so different than Palganiska Knossa and Palganiska Mamona, or at least one of them. And that's where we get to this. Kol HaMishalim Nezek Shalim HaShlumei Mamon Uchayev L'Shalmo Kimi Shalava Michavero Shuchayev L'Shalim. Meaning what? That's an interesting addition. What does it remind us of? Kimi Shalava, I mean, I'm cross halachic, you know, cultures here, but, or schools. What does it remind us of? Ariel. Where's Ariel? Ariel here? What?
Literally
just left. He just left. Okay, but why did I say Ariel? Michael?
No, about Kasim Tar.
Exactly. See? You're good. Okay. Maybe it's like one chassan knows another. I don't know. Yeah. So Ariel asked me the question the other day about, you know, the relationship between some of the things that we're talking about and whether it's a milva ktsuva b'Torah. When the Bali Tosas and others want to explain, you know, what you don't need a milva ktsuva b'Torah. What's the example that they give? A milva. That's, I lent you $100, shouldn't you pay me back? Oh, there he is. Who are you talking about, you? He's saying really nice things. Right? So a milva ktsuva b'Torah is not like, that's a chiyuv b'Torah, right? So Ariel was bringing up the other day, you know, what is the relationship between, I was trying to suggest, and he told me afterwards that Rav Gusman in his Sefer, you know, says it differently. Right? But I was trying to suggest, at least, that milva ktsuva b'Torah will apply to anything, even if there's logic to it, even if there are different mechayvim, anything that isn't a natural quid pro quo obligation. If the chiyuv b'Torah, even if it's, you know, very logical, but it's based on expanding what constitutes ma'isa hezek, or dictating that, you know, you're responsible for the ma'isa hezek of your behemoth. None of those are so obvious, right? Even the maskana. What am I trying to say? When the Ram says here, "Kol mishalim nezek shalim rei tashlumin mamon shuchayv l'shalim k'misha lava michaveru shuchayv l'shalim," I just think it's a loaded line. That's the Ram I'm saying. The nezek shalim is a natural chiyuv. I don't think that means it's not, you know, milva ktsuva b'Torah, but I just think it's curious that he's using the mashal that the Rishonim all use for something that isn't a milva ktsuva b'Torah. Right? And what's that contrasted with? The kol mishalim chatzi nezek hatashlumim knas is the first time he brings it in. Chutz michatzi nezek shel tzroros shu halacha kamo shebi'arnu. One's a halacha, one's a knas. What's missing? What happened to stam? You know, Shvari, you know, Becheska, Shibur, Kaimi. And this is Beis Zion when he's mentioned Chatzi Nezek how many times? Right? Zeh Klal. What do you need the Klal for? Kol HaMishalim HaShehizek HaReza Mamon. Kol HaMishalim Yeser U'Pachos Kigon Tashlume Kefal O Chatzi Nezek HaRe HaYeter Ala Keren U'Pachos Knas. Bein Chayov and Knas El Al Piedim Avon Bekol Knas Min HaKnasos Potor. We'll get that in a second. Why not just say that Min HaTorah, in its own right, right, this doesn't qualify as mamon because kol hashvarim becheskas shimur kaimi. The Rambam is so apologetic and verbose here. He delayed the connection to Karen. He delayed chatzi, you know, tam chatzi nezek knas till here. And then when he brings it up, he's saying, you know why it's a knas? It's not Malva's Chaveiro like the others. It's questionable on both sides, right? Because it's not the right amount. That's what makes it Knas. Just like Kefel and Dalad Behei, right? That's very strange. It's not Mamon because it isn't like Milva. And even more so, you should be Pata Lagamri, right? The Rambam in general, by the way, doesn't think, I think we mentioned this last year when we learned Shavuos, we'll see more, the Rambam in general, unlike the Ravid, is not so much of the opinion that Knas, you know, is a radically different obligation than Mamon. I think that's part of the story here, too. It dilutes a little bit what I'm saying, but not so much. I mean, the Ravid was of the opinion, Ravid in Hilchos Gneiva, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, and again in Hilchos Avadim, you know, that in order to be mechayev knas, right, it has to be a chiyuv bezdin, and the Ravid also assumes, this is what we saw last year, right, din pasuk beli, was that the language? Din pasuk beli safek. Meaning, if you have a teiko or bayid lo ifshita, you know, then you're vadai not chayev knas. That was the Ravid's view against the Rambam, because you need bezdin to be mechayev, and they weren't vadai mechayev. That's also not so simple. Okay. But the Rambam, I think we mentioned it last year when we were talking about, again, the Rambam in Shavuos Eidos and the Rambam in other places. We'll go back to it. The Rambam doesn't take such a radical view of Knossos. Maybe that's part of here why he's struggling a little, but I think it's much more than that. In Parakeh, Hilchos Sanhedrin, anybody have that? I don't have it. Halachates, when he talks about Anybody have?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alex. There he talks about the Gebiyah Bebabel. We saw the Rambam earlier in the year. We talked about Kabbalah and Mazik, right? Go ahead.
Sorry. Can't you refresh?
I think it's Hates.
Yeah. Ein don in bezin shel chutz laretz ela dvarim mitzuyim tamid v'yesh behen chesron kis v'go in hodos v'alvos u'mazik mamun chaveiro. Aval dvarim she'ein mitzuyin afal pi she'yesh behen chesron kis v'go in behima shechavla v'chaverta o dvarim ha mitzuyim aval ein behen chesron kis v'go in tashlumi keifel ein don nosan dayanei chutz laretz v'chein kol haknasos shekansu chachamim v'tokeel l'chavero v'soser as chavero v'chayotze bahen ein govan oso dayanei chutz laretz v'chol meshalim chatzi nezek ein govan oso dayanei chutz laretz chutz mechatzi nezek tsoros mimnei shehu mamon v'eino knas.
So I think that's a strange way. Didn't the Rambam just say that if there's no chisaron kis and if something is a knas, that it's not nigva v'bano? Yeah? And he has the example of Kefel. So then he has, only in the end, V'chein Chatzi Nas? Chatzi Nezek? Except for Tzroros? So I think the effect, again, you could argue, the effect of what the Rambam is saying, to me, is, in the totality, Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, Perek Ayobos, we'll see more as we go forward. The way treating Karen, the way he's treating the Rif, the fact that he's giving the Rif so much ink, you know, the transition to halacha base. The Rambam is saying, listen, chatzi nezek tzoros and chatzi nezek knas are different. There's going to be a difference in gebiyah bebabel, right? There's a difference, you know, in here in halacha zayin, right? In terms of min aliyah, migufo, but they're not so different. They're different, and there are differences. Bezin smuchim, you know, mode of a knas. We'll get to mode of a knas in a second. But the differences are not the big story in the Rambam. Right? The big story in the Rambam is the commonality. Because Palga Niska Knasa is also Tashlume Niske Mamon in some respects. And consequently, the transition from Halacha Aleph to Halacha Beis, and then again after Halacha Bav back to Halacha Zayin, right? And the Zach Klal, Kol Mishali Mashizik, more or less, all of that is consistent with this view. Yeah.
Yeah, so explain how the reason why he doesn't mention Chatzin Nezek Knasa first there is because it's just describing how much you have to pay.
I'm just saying.
Why does it matter that conceptually it's similar?
I'm just saying he doesn't even connect it to Karen. He's basically he starts off by saying this is a din of mazik in a bay, in ownership. And there are two types. I'm just saying, if the two types are two types of Tashlume Nezek, then that's very sensible. If the idea of Chatzi Nezek Knas is that you're Potter Legamri and the Torah imposed a Knas on you...
Why does the Rambam take a stand on that? He just says that you pay either Nezek Shalem or Chatzin Nezek.
Right, I'm saying... Right, I mean, again... It's totally either you're convinced or you're not. All I'm saying is, if you really believe that Chatzin Nezek Knas is an outlying din, and it has nothing to do, it's an exception, it's nothing to do with Mazik, it has to do with policy, then it's a totally, in my opinion, it's a totally misleading way of presenting it. Then you would start and say, you wouldn't start at all maybe with it, you wouldn't present it as if this is like, you know, there's something called Mazik, you know, even if Kol Nefesh Kaya that you own, there's this type, there's that type. You would start off by saying, you know, there every time you're Mazik, you know, there is Achiv Nezek Shalem. Maybe you want to put in Sroros right in the beginning, but definitely there's something else, which is Chatzi Nezek, but it's not a din in this case Mamon, it's a din in, you know, Konas Rachmana. You would associate it right from the beginning with Karen.
What?
Right. So quote the pasuk and explain how it has nothing to do with DNA knasos. It's a knas d'oraisa that is connected, that is completely disconnected conceptually from it. All I'm saying is he withholds palga nizka knasa for 2.5 prakim. He only brings it in after tzroros. When he brings it in, you know, he still has Troros on his mind, both here and in Sanhedrin. And the impression you would get, if you didn't get to Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, the impression you would get would be that this is Mavul. That's all I'm saying. And for that reason, he seems to be enamored with this idea of the Rif. To me, that's a very strong pattern in his presentation.
Also, in Torah Sanhedrin, I mean, Pasha is the reason why he quotes Kasi Nezek separately from all the Kasi Chachamim, because it's not a Kasi Chachamim.
No, but he already mentioned it's. Not, but he already mentioned the Dochi Sarum Kis.
This is not one of those cases.
I mean, he mentioned already Kefal and Dalet Behei. He didn't put it with them either. Right? Early as Kefal Dalet Behei.
In previous halakha?
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, to me, it seems clear. Now, again, there is a famous sheet of the Raivid. We'll be discussing this much more. There's a famous view of the Raivid. Everybody familiar with the Raivid? I think we mentioned the Raivid. We mentioned certainly last year. I think we mentioned it again. Namely, what's the Raivid? No? That the din of Moda Beknas Potor. Okay. The din of Moda Beknas Potor, you know, which clearly does apply to Palganiska Knasa, but maybe doesn't apply in exactly the same way as it applies in other Knasas. Okay. We'll talk about different versions of this, but that is the view of the Raivid. Last year, when we talked about the Raivid in Perek Beis, Hilchos Gneiva Halacha, what did I say Halacha was? Yud Aleph? Yud Aleph? Yud Aleph, right? Beis Yud Aleph? Somebody have that Halacha open? And the one at Hilchos, the parallel one at Hilchos Avadim, right? We noted that there may be a remez in the Raivid's Hasaga against the Rambam, right, about Chatzi Nezek. Who has the line? Zakaria, you have it?
Can you go back?
I think Beis Yudalit? We're the one with the Raivid. Is it Beis Yudalit?
No,
Beis Yud Beis. Sorry. Okay. Ubedin Pasuk Beli Safek. Right. So this is the famous Raivid, and he said the same thing in Hilchos Avadim, and that is if you have a suffix in halacha, then you should vadai not be chayav a knas, because a knas is not triggered by the action, it's triggered by that. We'll discuss more. This is the big debate about knasos in general. We discussed it a lot last year, because we talk about shvuas edus in a case of knasos, right? Majbiya ide knas. Knossos are generated by Bezin, Asher Yarshin Olohim Velo Amarshias Atzmo, that Moda Beknas is Potur, that's because Bezdin is the Mechayiv to begin with. Right? And that's also the reason, according to some Rishonim, that Karen Kain Shaganav, right? The Gemara in Samachay in Bava Kamma, Karen Kain Shaganav, Kepel Dalet Behe Kishasa Moda Vedin, right? It's a result that Bezdin plays this role, Asher Yarshin Elohim, a very big, big topic, right? Many, many nafkamina. So the Raivid says, for that, this is also Chiddush, because you could say the first and not say the second, that therefore, any safek halacha is a vadai, no piyu bezdin, right, of knas. It can't be that bezdin is saying, oh, if you're a chayiv, you know, then you're chayiv, you know, even if we're not sure of the halacha, and we're, you know, kind of, you know, we're part of the suffix. That's the view of the Raivid. But if you look at the language of the Raivid, sorry, what's the diuk I'm trying to make? No. That's what on the bigger thing. But when he describes knasos, what did he say? When he's describing what a knas is earlier. Ah. So what about pachos mimasha isik? Right? So is this the Raivid making allusion? The Raivid's view is that the din of Moda Beknas Potor, when it comes, again, there are different versions of the Raivid, in the Kedusha Raivid and Bava Kamma, the way the Rajba quotes it. We'll get to it. I'm not sure, maybe either sooner or later, I haven't decided yet. But you should be aware of it. If indeed, I mean, what's unusual about Chatzi Nezek, Palganizka, Knossa, right, is that it is, you know, it's part of the Chisaron Kiss, right? So it makes sense that it might be treated differently, you know, than other Knossos, which are either disconnected, right, some arbitrary Shloshim Shaleved, right? Or more, Kefel, Dalad Behei, right? So, again, it could be that, you know, you're not Mechayev Knas based on your Hodas Baldin, even in Chatzi Nezek. But let's say, is Moda Beknas Poter, even if Achakach Bo Edim? But that's one of the places to draw the line. Asher Yoshino Lehim Bloa Marshias Atzmo, meaning it disrupts, you know, the Edim? Maybe not in Chatzi Nezek. Whatever the answer is, it's fascinating to note also that the Minchas Chinuch thought that the Rambam agrees with the Ravid that Palga Nizka Knossa is different than other Knossas. Okay. All I'm saying is, if we think that Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur, you know, is either not an absolute, and therefore the Knoss is just a policy decision, right? Or maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's a description after the fact. I mean, it has to do with whether you consider, you know, how you consider Karen, you know, and what your obligation of Shmira is, and how you look at it as an independent mazik, as a rogue, you know, etc. So then, what the Rabbit says, what the Rambam maybe agrees to, meaning the notion that Palga Nizka Knossa is a paradigm in Nizkei Mamon, I believe, again, you know, these are nuances, impressions, would explain a lot of why the Rambam does what he does in the presentation, in Perek Aleph, in Perek Beis, and in Avos Sanhedrin. Yeah. And in connecting to Tzoros, yeah.
Rosh, why can't everything that that's not possible to expand as a paradigm if you assume, unless you assume it's about the Mechazim?
Say that again?
Everything that Tom Wood can expand it to other obstacles, unless you assume it's about the Mechazim, Omalach, and the Rosh?
I'm not following. I was saying about the Rush. The Rush understands the Rif that it isn't Dafka Tamu Muad. It is the fact that there are models of Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalem within Karen. I'm saying I don't think that that makes sense either if you take the view that Palga Nizka Knossa and Palga Nizka Mamona are exceptions of the rule that have nothing to do with the broader dinam of Nizkei Mamon. Is that what you're asking about?
Yes, on that point. You assume that Palga Nizka Mamona and Palga Nizka Knossa just exist across of either a class of Mamona or Knoss, why can't you be saying that that's just like we have a Kedesh class of here, we would have a Kedesh class of by Shinra?
I'm just saying, you normally wouldn't be looking for trouble if something is, I think, if something is pure Chas Rachmana, or something is pure Knas, but you know, you fundamentally you remain Potter Legamri, then looking for, you know, more Knossos or more Chos Rachmanas, if you look at them narrowly, is peculiar.
Can't it just be an example of abnormal
touch? I mean, but we don't have Xeris Akat. We do have a Chitzu as Kas, but we have that in Karen. Right? If you don't have it, you don't. I mean, I think Eloka Bala Chidusho would certainly apply to a narrow Chas Mamono and to a narrow Knas. That's what I'm saying. However, if you think that either or both, or one or the other, and I think you can make the argument in either way, is a din in a paradigm within this Nizkei Mamon, and that that's what the Xeris HaKasuv. The Xeris HaKasuv is that, you know, it's not a zero-sum game. You can be, you know, you can have no Ptur Anus, but also not the Mechayev of Choser Shmira. Or you can be, you know, Chayev, you know, but the animal also is Chayev. You know, or, you know, you can be Chayev, you know, but Betoras, the owner, not being mitzuref to the maaseh, something like that. One of those qualitative things. If that's really what the gzeiras kasuv is about, I think then, you know, A, tam and muad itself becomes more plausible in Shein v'Regel and maybe even other things. But even more so, the rush becomes more plausible. Because we do really have, and I think that's what the Rama was presenting, that's why I think his transition to halacha base of Tzroros and then Tzroros back again to Chatzi Nezek is so good. That's what I think. Okay. Let me just finish up one more thing very quickly. Because I don't want to leave Kiyotzebo. I want to finish that at least. And then we'll really, really try to move more quickly. When we come back on Thursday, we want to do first Karen, Mechubar and Talush, we've shown them there that I gave you a look at, and a little bit more of, you know, Dab Tezvav and Tezayin, etc. And then again, I still want to like highlight, you know, some of the base above issues that, in light of what we've done and in light of what we're going to do, we need to explore. And then the one after that will be Mechalia Karna, which is Gimel. And then, you know, again, we'll go through the rest of these more quickly, but pick up whatever there is on the daf. But just very quickly, the Ravid issue, right? Because we talked about that. The Ravid's first day up within the Rambam is that the Rambam is not saying any of this. And then, of course, halacha base is totally 180-degree turn, right? But what the Rambam is saying is that if the question is whether a muad, right, in the status of tam and muad, as defined by the Av, is kobeah for the Tolda. So if you're a muad on Negicha, does that mean that you are automatically a muad on Neshicha or Be'ita, etc.? That's how the Ravid understood the Rambam. And the Ravid has two objections against that. One is Karen Yamin and Karen Small. Right? And the other one is the Rambam's own comment in Perek Aleph Halacha Tal. So just very briefly on that. First of all, David brought to my attention very correctly that the Rambam's view on Karen Yamin and Karen Small in Perek Zayin Bichlaziskei Moment Halacha Beis happens to be, you know, different than the Ravid understood it, namely.
The Rambam thinks that Shor, which is Muad, the Karen Yamin, not the Karen Small, doesn't have a Chalos Muad at all.
Yeah. In other words, the Rambam doesn't understand the Gemara to be saying, you know, that if you're a left knee surgeon, you know, then, you know, that's okay, you know, but we're not going to let you do surgery on the right. It's that, you know, if you can't do surgery on the left and the right knee, we're not going to let you do surgery on either. Okay. So, meaning, if there's no Muad, Lekaren Small, then you're not a Muad Lekaren Yamin either. As opposed to what the Ravid understood, or was asking, or understands it, which is that, you know, just because you're a Muad B'Yamin doesn't mean you're a Muad L'Small. I think that's, number one, a very good, important point that is the Shita of the Rambam. But I do still think that the larger idea of both, you know, underscore what we've been saying. Namely, on a Stam Shvarim B'cheskas Shimur perspective, right, whether you take the view that Karen Yamin has nothing to do with Karen Small, right, or you take the view that until, you know, you've attacked with both Yamin and Small, right, we don't even expect you to attack with Yamin, both of those, you know, a fancy behavioristic explanation aside, are more likely to be formal dinim of Tam and Muad. In other words, to have a shame Muad, the shame Muad for this doesn't create a shame Muad for that, even though the behavioral expectation is there. Or, until you have fully, you know, misbehaved in the totality of your Muadus, right, which is both Karens, right, there's no shame Muad. Both of them, I think, point in that same direction. Now, again, there could be a difference, as I think I mentioned last time, between the perspective that says that Stam Shvarim, you know, is itself, you know, on the line, or Stam Shvarim doesn't even mean it, it's a description, not a cause. Those are two different things, too. And the question of how you turn a Tam into a Muad, and the question, separately or connected, of how you turn a muad back into a tam. Right. In other words, what I was saying the other day is that one perspective is that everything is behavioristic. It's all stam shvarim. And these are chidushim are low plugs, or they're deep psychological, perspectives. And for sure, some of the mefarshim really try hard to make it that. No question about it. One could have said that stam shvarim underlies palganiski knasa, but that once that is the case, right, then it becomes a halachic question, like how do you turn something into a muad? Or that how you turn something into a muad is still behavioristic. How you go from being a muad back to being a tam, that becomes more formalistic. You could have drawn a line in any way. But either way, Karen Yamin, Karen Small, whether it's the Ravid's read or the Rambam's read, both work a lot better from a formalistic point of view. David was trying to argue that this is really the pshat in the Rambam. Still holding that way?
Tentatively.
What?
Tentatively.
Okay. And to say that, right, you would have to, we were just fleshing it out a little bit, if that's what the Rambam was saying, you would have to explain Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalid, Ha'osa Maisa Shadar Kolasas Tamid Kiminad Briyaso, Hua Nikar Muad, Ha'meshana Va'osa Maisa She'en Derech Kol Mino Lasos Tamid, Kagon Shar Shanaga Honasha Hua Nikar Tam, Zeha Meshane Imhurgo Bishinuyo, Pamim Rabot, Nasa Muad La'oso Dabar Shahurgo Bo, Shenemar Onoda Kishar Nagachu. You would have to say that the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, which is what the Ravid is pointing at, the second thing that he points at, is a qualified halach, meaning it applies only to toldos themselves, or the relationship between toldos, or the change of a tolda and its impact on the Av. But whenever you have, you'd have to say that the Rambam wrote this halacha, and he expected you to read Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, which he probably did expect you, but expected you, to read it together, so that that's when the other shoe drops, or the other Karen drops, right? And basically what you're saying is, an Av status impacts the Tolda, even if there's no behavioristic pattern, right? As opposed to a Tolda and a Tolda and a Tolda and an Av, where it is all behavioristic. I don't buy that, but I hear it. The Rambam sometimes does rely on how you read things later on. Even today we've suggested that. But I think this is a misleading psak halacha, that if you don't, if for some reason they misprint Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, you could paskin wrong. Okay, again, there are cases of that too. But I don't go along with it, but that's how he was suggesting it. But what I do want to add is that either way, the halacha on the Rambam would be purely formalistic, meaning the only difference between the impact of a told on another told on an av, and the av on a told of, is formalism. It's the category. Okay. Having said that, so Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid aside, or even with Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid aside, what about Karen Yamin, Karen Small? So that I did make allusion to, and Josh pointed out to me that the Migdal Oz, in the end of the piece, also kind of says this idea, and that is that had only been a problem of Karen Yamin, Karen Small, in addition to Dov and Sahara, which is very good, but I don't think that necessarily changes the formalism. What you might say is that the din of Karen Yamin, Karen Small, either one, the way the Rabbi understood it, the way the Rambam actually has it, that's a din in the Av, again. And that's different, than the Tolda. In other words, to establish a shame muad in the behema, whether for the sake of the behema being a mazik, graduating to a shame mazik, or in terms of shmira or chosar shmira or tzir, whatever it is, for that, right, you need to cover, all your bases. But that doesn't mean that the whole thing is behavioristic, right? The whole thing, it's behavioristic. Well, it's more than behavioristic. It's formalistic on the Av level, and once it's formalistic on the Av level, that would impact the tolda as well. That's kind of what the Migdal Oz is suggesting as well. The only problem with all that is what you do with Halacha Dalid in Perek Aleph. Either way, I think the better approach in all of this is that the formalism works beautifully for the Rambam, and we find it throughout, I think, because the Rambam was using Chatzi Nezek Knossa, like the Ravid, maybe not as far as the Ravid, is that that too is a different kind of Knoss, and it's part of this commandment. Yeah?
Now, I was going to say that the reason why the Rambam leaves Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid unqualified may be in order to fit with the whole schematic that Rabbi was pointing out. First, the Rambam wants to talk about the distinctions between Chati Nezek and Nezek Chale, the distinctions between Keren and Tolda and Av. Those, according to the Rambam, have come later necessarily. So you need to qualify Halacha Aleph.
I hear that, maybe. But again, if you accept my readings, then I think it's much more attractive to say that Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph and Beis, and then through Zion are really weighing the possibility, not just of, the impact of Muad, the impact of Av on Muad and Tam, but the idea of Tam and Muad in other Avos, or maybe Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalim in other Avos. I'm saying, you might... I hear the argument, I'm saying, but if you're already going to go with that, if you're already going to buy Perek Aleph, then maybe it's just more normal to read Perek Beis, the way that other people understood the riff. Yeah?
Are we assuming that the questions of Chatzi Nezek Knas and versus Mavona and the questions of Tam and Muad are for sure interconnected? I mean, we could have said that you could hold of a nuanced Nitzas Nezek view of Chatzi Nezek Knas,
right,
and also hold that Tam and Muad is purely behavioristic. Like, those two are not necessarily interdependent.
I think I said before, I mean, you could hold that, but you could still hold Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimro made literally as driving things, but still think what?
No, well, I mean, Stam Shvarim, that's a question of whether I view of what the basis for a Chatzi Nezek Knas is.
Right. Okay.
It's not
whether it's a real...
The status of Tam and Muad. Meaning like this, both Mandong and both Mamona and Knossa, right, are going to have to grapple with Tam and Muad. And regardless of how I view Chatzi Nezek Knas or Mamon, I'm still going to have to grapple with Tam and Muad. Meaning that... Why can I just say that?
I mean, if you hold... Let me say it this way. If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, right, that there's a huge... There's a 180 degree gap between Palganiska Mamona and Palganiska Knasta. Right? That one is a Chiyuv Gomor and the other is a Patur Gomor. Right? So, if you hold Palganiska Knasta, then the likely thing that you would say, I'm not saying you end up, I think I just made a distinction before, is that Tam and Muad are behavioral.
So why would you, what's the likeliness of that? I mean, what's the connection between those two points?
Because is it still Becheskas Shimur when he does it all the time?
You could see that regard. I mean, you could still
I mean, you're asking, what is Palgam Niska Mamona? How does Palgam Niska Mamona explain Tam and Muad?
Right, yeah.
All I'm saying is this.
Why are we assuming that those two questions are interconnected?
Well, I think that this is part of the major machlokas or rishonim, essentially whether they are or not. Rabbeinu Tam does assume that they're connected. That's Rabbeinu Tam on base on a base. Well, we'll get to it. And Karen Mechubar, and that's his reading on Heyod base, and I think that's his reading on Tezvav and Tezayin. Everything is about behaviorism, Again, for the Mandomar Palganiska Knossa. For the Mandomar Palganiska Mamona, it might be a different story.
Okay. I'm just pointing out that putting Rabbeinu Tam aside, even if you thought that Chatzi Nezek Knas was this like nuanced middle category of Mitzas Nezek,
right,
you could still hold that the definitions of Tam and Muad are going to depend on behaviors.
No, for sure.
The more you demonstrate that you're doing this Mitzas Nezek, the more...
No, 100%. But that doesn't have to be for actuarial reasons. It could be for actuarial reasons. or it could be because that's koveya, you know, that's what fills in the gap in terms of whether there's a shemazik for the animal or whether or not there's a chisaron shmira, right? Or whether or not, despite the fact that there's a shemazik, you're betsurif to that hezek because you know you are harboring a mazik. Right? It doesn't have to only be because the likelihood. All I'm saying is what, of course, I mean, you know, either way. I mean, you're asking me, you know, does Tam and Muad have to be formalistic if you think that Chatzi Nezek Knasa is a category of Nizkei Mamon? Does it have to be formalistic? It doesn't have to. Right. Now, as I've said before, was even if Chatzi Nezek Knasa is behavioral, it could still be that Muad and Tam, meaning the details of Muad and Tam, or if not, at least the undoing of Muad back to Tam is formalistic. So you want to know the inverse.
Right.
I think you're right. I think it's very possible that Palganiska Knasa or Mamona are levels of Mazik, or in terms of quality or quantity of Hezek, and you still, the threshold that dictates, you know, whether or not, you know, you go beyond that is the level of Shmira that is required in a very practical way, or how you look at the animal and so on, which can be very behavioristic. 100%.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah. I just think that the evidence is even much stronger, let me say this way, much stronger on the dinim of turning a tam into a muad, and especially the question of a muad back to a tam, that there's a lot of formalistic factors, even more so than the evidence to begin with about the nature of chatzi nezek knas. But I do think that it can go in either direction. And I think it's easier in a way to say it's your way, 100%. Okay, we're going to stop here. Wish everybody hatzlacha on the midterm. And